feel. It's not like, okay, we're going to do this and then we solved the problem. It's like every time you're like, you're taking small steps and creating a like an environment to make good and healthy decisions for your employees.
My name is Katharina, and I'm the Community and Event Manager at eCulture, a company that is on a mission to shape the world of unbiased hiring. Welcome to the Oops, I'm Biased podcast. Hi there. A really quick announcement. We decided to switch things up a little bit. We will still cover all things bias and unbiased hiring, but from now on, I will be your host. I am Katharina. Nice to meet you. I'm the Community and Event Manager at eCulture. Don't you worry, Charlotte will be back in the future as a guest host, so she's not going anywhere, but you will hear a lot more from me in the future. So I hope you enjoy. So on today's episode of the Oops, I'm Biased podcast, I am talking to not one, but three experts on mental health and well-being initiatives in organizations. We are talking about how companies can meet the expectations of candidates towards mental health initiatives and well-being strategies in the recruitment process. This was initially a webinar that we held at the end of May, so at the end of Mental Health Awareness Month, and we turned it into a podcast episode for your enjoyment, just because we thought it is such an important conversation to have. So without further ado, I really hope you enjoy this episode.
We invited a bunch of our panel experts, and all of them said yes. So we have a full panel of three really knowledgeable experts with unique perspectives on the topic. Thank you for joining us today, Daniela, Eva, and Michiel. Eva, I would love to start with you. You are a career coach and a talent acquisition lead, so helping companies externally to recruit talent. First of all, why is this topic so important to you, mental health and well-being, and how does it connect to your job?
Yeah. Yes, nice to be here and share my knowledge. So why it does matter to me, I hear a lot of stories from my clients in as a career coach. And with those stories, I also see how important it is for people to feel well and to share their mental state of being with their team and with their manager. That's also one of my main drivers in life is to create more happy and healthy people in the workplace. And I think as a career coach and freelance talent acquisition lead, I integrate those aspects more and more. So with those stories, I think it's good to also, take ownership as a talent acquisition lead to integrate it more and make it a topic in the agenda and show that it is a high priority.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that introduction. Right on to Michiel. You are a well-being rainmaker. Can you explain a bit more about what that title entails for you and for companies?
Of course, I would love to. For me, it's more like, okay, how can we add value on a continuous way? So well-being rainmaker for me means that I'm highly dedicated to, let's say, improve and empower teams and individuals to prioritize their physical, mental, social, and financial well-being. So that's for me the meaning of well-being rainmaker.
Wonderful to have you and really excited to get into the discussion with you. Last but not least, Daniela, she is my lovely colleague at eCulture. As a people and culture manager with a really strong focus on D&I, how do you see the connection to mental well-being and mental health?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the invite, by the way. And what more can I say after the previous introduction? But I do think the topics are really related. So I've done work on D&I for the government before. And I think what strikes me most is you have to create a physical safe environment and or psychological safe environment. And I think that inclusion starts with seeing people. So seeing people for who they are, but that also means seeing them in their well-being as well. And everybody is different in that regards, which makes us super unique and which makes it fun to work with people. But I do think when you look at the role of a people and culture manager, you have the responsibility to take care of the people you work with. And when it comes to mental health. I think that is super important. And if you have mentally healthy employees, it also reflects on the way they work, the output they have. So I do think it's a super important topic and we don't talk about it enough. So that's obviously why I'm here as well, to raise a voice on this topic.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that introduction as well. Very personal. I'm gonna swiftly move on and walk you through a bit of my preparation for this webinar. So I found two Deloitte reports and surveys where, on the one hand, between 61 and 62% of professionals would consider leaving their job if their mental health needs were not met. This is a study from 2020. This was a three-year study. And then if we look to a much more recent study, which was published in May of 2023, this was a survey done by Deloitte as well, surveying millennial and Gen Z professionals. And they say 80% of Gen Z and millennials think mental health policies are super important, and especially when considering an employer. And then 56% of the people in question said that they see an employer's focus on mental health resulting in positive change. I'll share those links as well so you can look a bit deeper into these studies, because I think these numbers are very interesting. Well, what I gained from this, to sort of kick this conversation off, is mental health support and well-being initiatives are more important than ever to candidates, especially when we're looking towards the younger generations. But as we've seen in these numbers already, there's a little bit, maybe you could say a misalignment. Michiel, I would love to start this off with you. Why do you think there is a misalignment?
Of course, I would love to jump in that one. It's a misalignment. I don't know. It's what's in the word. But what we see, you know, and what I hear also from having discussions with hiring managers, but also with the leaders of the company, leadership team, and also recruiters. But also based on the report that we will share with the audience from Deloitte, is that although there is some hope, that there is hope, there is hope. That's the good thing. We start to recognize and also experience mental health support in the workplace. So that's the positive side. On the other hand, there is a lot of unknown still to uncover. So getting more aware of our unawareness is thinking the right thing to approach. And what I mean is, there are a lot of initiatives, yet the usage is still relatively low. When you look into the numbers more detail of the Deloitte report, you see, for instance, one is taking off paid vacation and the whole regulation around that. 70% is offered such a regulation, and only 40% make use of it. So there is still, there is still a lot of unawareness, or maybe we are a little bit afraid, or there isn't enough psychological safety. But maybe that's more for you, Eva, to deep dive into the psychological safety part. But I think, so the positive side, we are slowly moving towards more, seeing more and experiencing more mental health support workplace. On the other hand, we're still at the awareness stage, and we're now into the understanding stage, so the educational stage. And Gen Z and millennials are expecting much faster moving forward with all those initiatives. So that's for now my answer to this question.
Interesting. Do you agree, Eva? Is there
There is misalignment, and I really hear what you say, Michiel. And I also, what I see is that sometimes employees, but also organizations, they want to solve everything fast. But when you look at mental health and at well-being, it's not a, like, there's no fast track. There is not, like, it's not that you can throw in an one fit initiative and then it's solved. Yeah. So it lays much deeper than that. And I sometimes think we live in a society where we think, okay, I feel sick, I have a lot of headaches, I go to the doctor, I get a pill, and it's solved. But it's not like that. So really making it high priority, but not only organizations make it high priority, but also employees make their mental health high priority. That's gonna change things. And yeah, so there is misalignment because I think organizations, but also employees, think that superficial initiatives are gonna solve their problems.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I also think it's much broader than that, right? It's not only the initiatives, but it is so ingrained in your culture and what you do in the workplace as well. Because if you see, for example, if you look at the Deloitte study, you see that a lot of people value the flexibility, whereas you see employers actually requesting people to get back to the office more often. And I think that is super interesting to see because it's something that is asked, but then the reaction is a little bit opposite. So I think what is super important here is to actually listen to people and to have that conversation. I think the conversation, coming back to what you said, Michiel, is super important to be learning and to understand what mental health is, because what it is for me might be different for you, Kalt or Evam.
Yeah, agree. And to add something, it's also when it comes to candidate expectations, it is a massive challenge, right, to meet those expectations. And sometimes we try to approach it as if we are running a marathon in 60 seconds, right? And that's especially when it comes to well-being, mental health. It's not a topic. It's our being. It's fundamentally who we are, and learning to create an environment to proper take care of ourselves, and also enabling individuals within the company to proper take care of ourselves, right? So it's a learning curve. So we, by far, in my opinion, humble opinion, we by far didn't reach any tipping point. We're at the beginning of, okay, being more aware. Thank you, COVID, for 2 years struggling with that. But on the other hand, we're really figuring out, okay, how can we be, how can we support in the best possible way? That's where we are, I think, at this moment. And we have to accept that it's okay.
Yeah, and I think like curiosity really helps with that, like being curious. I'm myself, I'm also curious, like, hey, what does work for me? What doesn't work? And then like I had to ask also to your employees, and as a manager, you have a big stake in that, like to see, hey, what is working for me? What makes me happy? What doesn't make me happy? And it's a progress. So it's not, yeah, what you said, Michiel, it's not like, okay, we're going to do this and then we solved the problem. It's like every time you're like, you're taking small steps and creating a good, like an environment to make good and healthy decisions for your employees.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's more that we have to accept that it's in this stage more about why than really going to the pragmatic or drive and in the how to. This needs time. We need time to create a psychological safe environment to open up and to really have these kind of mental health conversations. And those kind of micro interventions, whatever, and really adds value to you as a person. It makes you feel seen, heard, appreciated. Sometimes it can be so little, or a founder who wishes you, I'm now in the middle of negotiating, for something new, who is wishing me well with an investor and mentor meeting, which I had. And just an hour before, you receive a WhatsApp. It's not only the big things. It's all it's rehumanizing also our recruitment process. So for this is a recruitment example, for instance, mm-hmm. founder and then me being maybe a late co-founder. So
yeah, Michael. I really like what you said about rehumanizing the process. I think that is super central to everything, right? We're all humans, we're all different, and those small things really matter. It contributes to the bigger picture, but I do think it's important to be realistic as well. If you look at what candidates like expect and what we offer as a company, be realistic in that as well. Don't pretend to be anything that you're not. It's also okay to admit that you have to learn still and that we're taking those baby steps to get where we want to. And I think that vulnerability is also super important, but also super difficult.
Yeah, sure. And the last thing from my side is although volume hiring is a number game, we are not. So think back in the times that we didn't have all the tooling and how can we embrace software which enables us in a much better way and much less biased way to enable the recruitment process and enrich the recruitment process. And on the other side, don't lose eye on the human aspect during certain stages and steps. And it's not only for you as an employer and employer brand, but it's for us as a candidate. We're not a number. We're a human being. For you, it's a position to fulfill as an employer. And for the candidate, it's the new step up career possibility. It's a real massive step. So also take that in consideration.
I think what I heard from all of you now, so sorry to cut you off, Ava, I'm going to pass the word on to you in a second, is care, right? That's what we're expecting, what candidates are probably expecting, what as individuals we're expecting is care, that people care about us as individuals. I heard a lot about, well, different topics that we covered in the preparation as well, geared towards, well, where do we start or where should we start adjusting that misalignment? We heard psychological safety, organizational culture, conversation. Ava, where do you think we should start? Or what's to be prioritized in that conversation?
Yeah, I think it's a very easy answer, but it's also very difficult. So we should start talking to each other. I think that's the essence of building a healthy culture. And I really learned that as a career coach, that hey, when hearing their stories and really diving deeper in what makes you happy at your work. So as an employer, you should start talk to your employees. And I think when you build really relationships and not like superficial, hey, how are you? But really like, hey, we sit together. We have one-on-ones and I make it a point on the agenda. Like, how is your mental health? And that creates trust and that creates psychological safety. So my advice, where to start to talk and talk to your employees about what they enjoy, what works for their mental health, how you can support them. Talk to your candidates. And of course, you can send out a survey, but you can also just make it a topic on the agenda for the interview. How is your well-being? What do you expect from an employer? Really open up about the topic. And I think last, like, talk as a manager. I think you set a good example in talking to your team about things you sometimes don't do well or what works for you, what gives you energy. And also, really, I think on all levels, make it a topic on the agenda and set the right example. So I think that's where I would start adjusting the misalignment.
Yeah, just curious about that as well. Like, what do you think a good conversation is? Because sometimes, you know, you touch upon different topics and like it's hard to start that conversation, right? So how do you start it?
So yeah, I'm managing a team right now. So for me, I have every week I have one-on-ones and we discuss, I think 2/3 of the time it's about like what we do for the job. And then 1/3 of the time I really make time and we sit together, have a coffee. And like most of the time we actually also go to a different place because we have like two chairs standing like in a different way than like on a table with our laptops. And I think it's like being present in the moment and asking and just don't ask a question and just hearing the answer, but really ask through and take time for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And may I jump into that one too a little bit? And it's also a bit aligned with the answer of Eva. So thank you. It's listening to understand. And what I mean with listening to understand is making time, creating time, but also, also during, of course, the hiring candidate, during the recruitment process, start asking questions before you go into the whole funnel. You can ask already, two or three really questions to deep dive into what's needed at our workplace. Don't make promises you can't keep, but being interested, because if you are open as an organization and really looking into seriously taking this to the next level, it starts all with asking questions and also being vulnerable and being very open and honest where you're at this moment. So don't promise anything that you can't deliver at this moment. But on the other hand, being asked gives also a feeling that like, okay, an expectation also, that this organization is really thinking about and really learning about and really asking me these kind of type of questions. I think that's very valuable for the candidate, but also valuable for you to gather the data. And I've spoken to BNI I won't mention the name, of a power company, an electricity company. And she said, okay, the candidate expectations, they come very well organized and very well prepared. So the interview sometimes is flipping around. So they're asking about what is your ESG strategy? What is your well-being strategy? How are you approaching all kinds of topics which 10 years ago wasn't on the agenda of a candidate? So it's more informed, especially Gen Z and millennials. It's more informed. It's more critical thinking. So also be prepared as a hiring manager and doing your free funnel. And again, you can flip it around by asking asking thought-provoking questions to gather info. So I think that's an important thing. And also keep going. That's my thing is keep going. Careful well-being is here to stay. So it's not a marathon. I'm sorry, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And don't get discouraged by short-term criticism. Don't get discouraged. Keep going. And we are in a figuring out mode. And we're all in this together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and when I look at recruitment and misalignment, so I think this is more like opening up and like building those that psychological safety you want to create that trust. Like if I look at recruitment, I always start with an employee value proposition.
Yeah.
Because I heard a nice concept like a few weeks ago about culture Botox. It's like looking really beautiful from outside, but from the inside, it's old. So I think a lot of companies, they when you don't talk to your own employees, you're like creating yeah, something from the outside. Like people think, oh, that's cool workplace. And we have this and we have this initiative and we do this and we have every month we go out. And but and then they arrive at the company and they're like, oh, huh? Is this it? So to align what you are and express that in the right way and share real stories to people who start working for your company. And I think being real, then you shift from maybe from quantitative recruitment to like really qualitative recruitment where people stay happy at your workplace.
Definitely. And I do think it's also like it's ingrained in the whole business, right? It's not only a conversation you have with your manager. It's a conversation managers have amongst each other, amongst leadership. So I do think that when you try to create that psychological safe space, it requires proactive communication, as Eva and Michiel already said, and being real. But that also means being vulnerable. And I think that there's still a stigma on mental health, right? So people don't really feel comfortable talking about it. Mainly, at least that's an assumption I made, is it used to be weak to talk about your mental health. It used to be perceived as something that made you like less reliable. But I do think it's so strong to talk about your mental health, what you struggle with as a manager or recruiter or whatever position you're in. And sharing that will also create a space where people feel that they can do the same and share what they feel or need or think as well. So I do think it's important to actively communicate to the whole business as well. So I think if you look at what we've done, we've also organized several talks about mental health, which was super nice to see how people can be open and how they felt comfortable. And I think that is also something that you show by, you know, letting people see that it is important and it is super important to talk about it.
Thank you so much for all of your perspectives. I think what I'm taking away mostly is, well, understanding, really asking questions and listening. Also, talking is really important, and having those one-on-one connections and sort of letting it permeate out into all sides of the team, whether that's up, down, towards all the different sides. So it's really built into the business and not necessarily just one tick-the-box exercise. I want to, the last portion of this, I want to focus, though, a little bit on practical ways, Dan, and I'm going to hand over the word to you. If we're talking about now about organizations, and we've seen the split is quite 50-50 in our audience, who have an implemented strategy and who don't, how can TA, HR professionals gather information about the expectations of candidates and also the satisfaction of employees around well-being initiatives? What would you do?
There's a lot of things we can do, I think. And I think it's two different questions as well, right? Like getting information from your employees is something different than from candidates. But I think we've said it already, and I think it starts with listening. So have those conversations, but also send out surveys to see whether your initiatives are what they need. And also ask people, what do you need? Because if you make a strategy based on what you think is needed, one size doesn't fit all. So there's different needs, and I think we should listen to that as well. Don't make an educated guess, but actually get the data from your employees. So send out surveys. What we did as well is just like asking people, hey, I want to know what you need. Can we come up with a focus group to see what we think is important for mental health? And as Eva said as well already, is like have the conversations one-on-one as well. So like what I do is like check in with people every 3 months, like, hey, how are you doing? What are things that we're still missing? So that on the employee side. And I think when you talk about candidate expectations, you can ask candidates, obviously, but it's also like reading between the lines. What questions do they ask when you make them an offer? What questions do they ask about your strategy? And also talk to each other, because obviously we're not, like, you don't do this alone. We have a lot of professionals like Eva and Michiel who are very, very knowledgeable, and ask them for advice as well. there's nothing wrong in, you know, picking each other's brains on that.
No, especially not in this stage. Yeah? We're in the discovering, figuring out, and we will for the rest of our lives, right? We are not the most simple creatures on the earth. We are complex. Life is complex. I love life, by the way, but life is complex. And a lot of challenges. And on the serious side also, when you read the report of Deloitte, you see a lot of concern when it comes to the economic worsening and the impact on the environment, all those kind of we have to be aware of our unawareness and also to proper address. I think it's not only listening but also addressing certain topics that we are aware, and it's leading by example. Also the leadership teams should lead by example. One example, during navigating through COVID 2 years, I was part of the leadership team, management team, and I was the only one who was doing the walk and talks. We have no time, because I was steering 50% of the total team, the other 50% divided to three founders based upon our discipline. And but we don't have time and this. And okay, but we say we care. We are a B Corp certified company. And where's our employee in this whole? So leading by, it's not for sure. The walk and talks. Lead by example. And we are also in leadership teams. We are there. We should lead each other and make each other example. We're all in this together. We're all well ambassadors, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually agree with both of you. So, Daniela, what you say is actually having qualitative and quantitative data. So, and that's in the candidate's experience. So, like in interviews, but also ask like in a questionnaire, because I think it's very valuable to also have data to back you up and to make it high priority. Otherwise, I think a lot of people in the people team, they're like, oh yeah, we have this feeling. And then management is like, okay, yeah, you have this feeling, but really make it more data driven. And then also for your employees, like have interviews where you can take deep dives, but also have a survey or questionnaire where you just have like gather data. So I think that, and to react on you, Michiel, we have a managing director for the company, the startup I work for now, and he has young kids, and he's going to pick up his kids 2 times a week. And I think it's so small, but it's so big. And when your managing director is doing that, really, like, you see how that shifts in the company, like the mindset of, hey, actually we have flexible work hours. But I've been to other companies where they had flexible work hours and everybody was in at 9 or 8:30 and everybody was leaving at 6. And I was like, hey, what is flexible here? Yeah. And here this company, like, because the leaders are doing it, it changes the whole thing. And to show that it is possible.
Yeah.
And I think also a practical way to do it.
Amazing. I think that data-driven piece is just gold at the moment. I think everyone talks about, well, we need to base it on data and we need to leverage the data that we're getting. So that those are wonderful ways to do it, asking, surveying candidates, surveying employees, having those one-on-one check-ins to get that qualitative data as well, which is, just such a good piece to complete the puzzle, as I hear you say, and then also leading by example. I think that's also a very practical way what you as an individual can do. Thank you so much to the three of you. This was an incredible conversation. We'll need a follow-up sometime soon because we're not in any way done talking about this anyway. And we'll see you at the next one.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Bye.